This year, I'm going British. The Times write, the US markets are running at a PE of 30, way above their historical average, whereas UK markets are running at a PE of 11, which is 10% less than their historical average. Now, markets dislike uncertainty. The future of America under the Musk-Trump presidential duo is, for me, anything but certain. Whereas in the UK, Brexit is finally in the rearview mirror and the change of government is done, with the majority of bad news now out there. So this is my year to go British. I mean, looking back on my 2024 investing year, I honestly wouldn't change anything. I achieved 10% in a market where the S&P achieved 26%, but I slept at night. You know what? I spent 17 years in PwC and Deloitte advising clients on risk management. If I'd thrown 100% of my portfolio at the S&P 500, it would have been dishonest to me and the work I've done with countless clients over my working life. I've set the groundwork for 2024. The SIP provider of choice was Freetrade, and my research platform was Wall Street Zen, and neither of these really provided good information on UK-based companies. For 2025, I've switched things up. I've swapped Freetrade for Interactive Investor, and I've switched Wall Street Zen for Seeking Alpha. Now, both these platforms provide everything I need to go British in 2025. Yeah. And here we go. There's one from 23 hours ago, the UK stock market outlook for 2025 by Graham Evans. Just what I'm looking for. So it says here that there's little doubt that many UK shares are cheap compared to overseas rivals. But will investors chase them higher over the next 12 months? A number of analysts think so. And that's certainly true. The UK market is significantly cheaper than both the US and the European markets at the moment. So it goes on here to say that the threat of global tariffs and the slower pace of earnings recovery means the long-awaited re-rating of the FTSE index is far from certain. So there's a term that not everyone might be familiar with, re-rating. So in terms of re-rating, it's basically talking about investors deciding that a particular market is too cheap and investing heavily into it. Good saying that in the first 5 months of 2024, there really was some momentum in the FTSE 100, but that did fizzle out for the final remaining 7 months of the year. It comments on the fact that the limited exposure to the tech market has had an impact and that some of the sectors are seen as a little bit old-fashioned, really. It goes on to list some of the big losers here. So we got the likes of BP and Diageo, etc. But it does mention acceleration in bid activity. This is the activity relating to the buying and selling of businesses and the mergers of businesses, which is always a good sign for an economy if people are actively looking to invest in companies. And the fact that the UK market is seen as very cheap at the moment really helps here. It says here that approaching the start of the new year, the FTSE 100 index trades on a price-to-earnings multiple just over 11 times, well short of the average of 12.8 times since 87. And that does really demonstrate how cheap the UK market is at the moment. So it refers here to the Bank of America lifting the region to market weight, whilst Germany has been switched to underweight. So what does that actually mean? Analysts using market weight is a good sign, whereas if they're actually using underweight, it is a sign that they are suggesting that the index is performing particularly badly. An analyst might recommend that an investor reduces their holding of underweight stock so that it weighs less in their portfolio. Deutsche Bank have also weighed in here, and they say that it is optimistic in the UK, believing that the market boasts the best risk-return portfolio in Europe. And it talks about having a good balance between cyclical and defensive sectors. It also talks about the fact that now we've got the general election out the way and Brexit discounts are fading into the past, they could also be good signs, good reasons to like UK stocks. Interact Investor has thousands of hours of reading material and videos about investing. I find a good proportion of their content is actually UK focused. They are a British investing platform after all, and they're not just the UK arm of an American platform. So if you need to invest in, what are some of the basic services you'll find on an investment platform? And where do people opening a SIP generally place their investments? Almost half of people invest in funds, nearly 20% in investment trusts, 21% in shares, and the rest really in ETFs. It's not really very surprising that so many people invest in funds, because when you do join a platform, you're generally invited to a fund. And these are investments where your money is pooled with other investors to buy a variety of assets, and usually there's a specialist manager who looks after the fund on your behalf. So how is a fund different from an investment trust? Well, investment trusts issue a set amount of shares, whereas funds add more shares as you join the fund. So when you buy a share in investment trust, you're actually buying that from someone who wants to sell it, whereas in a fund, you're just buying a brand new share. So how is a fund different than an ETF? Well, a fund is where multiple investors spread their investments across multiple investments, whereas ETFs are actually traded on the stock market and are generally passive, which means you're not paying a manager to actually invest on your behalf. So they do work out cheaper generally. So I mentioned Interact Investor, a British company. So here we are, founded in 1995, headquartered in Manchester with offices in London and Leeds. And they are, as you'd expect, protected by the Financial Services Compensation Scheme. So let's see what a typical Interactive Investor customer will invest in. Let's see if there is a skew towards British companies or whether US investments are leading the charge. Okay, top five shares. So at number one, we've got Tesla, followed by Nvidia, followed by MicroStrategy, followed by Apple. And it's not until we get to number five that we hit a British company with Rolls-Royce Holdings. As for funds, the Vanguard funds are always popular. We've got 80% equity at the top there. Number three is 60% equity, and number four is 100% equity. So the more equity you have in your fund, the higher risk it is generally. So investment trusts here, we got Alliant, Witten at the top there, Scottish Mortgages, City of London there, number five. So we do have a bit of a British skew here. ETFs then, we've got the S&P 500 at the top, the MSCI World number two, another S&P and third, and fourth and fifth are both world ETFs. So let's have a look at how much it typically costs per year to join one of these investing platforms. So I'll put in my pension pot value here. I currently have 138,000 in my pot, and do a compare against the different providers here. Interactive Investor, £164 annually, compared with Aviva at 508, Standard Life at 759, Hargreaves Lansdown at 621, and AGA Bell at 348. So quite a discount there once using Interactive Investor, which is one of the reasons I chose them. In terms of buying and selling shares, there is a $3.99 charge on Interactive Investor, which some other platforms don't have. But I do know I've been trading too heavily during the last year, so that's not too bad.